You're listening to the Flip Empire Show, episode 74.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, what's going on, my friends? It is great to be back on here. And today's guest expert here on the masterclass is Susan Lassiter-Lyon. So if you don't know who Susan is by any chance, she's the number one Amazon best-selling author for a book called Getting the Money, The Simple System for Getting Private Money for Your Real Estate Deals. And she's really an expert, not only when it comes to getting private money, but also when it comes to getting the deals. And, this was actually, it was a great interview here because we give out a free resource at the end, which is 70 ways to attract motivated seller leads. And motivated sellers is something that we all need more of. You know, we're always constantly looking to maximize our marketing channels, generate leads that will help us close more deals. And that's really what we talk about on today's show. Susan gets into about three or four of her favorite ways to generate motivated seller leads. She reveals a couple of cool websites that I had actually never heard of where you can connect with motivated landlords, you know, people that are going through evictions. And then we talk about some other cool strategies that I don't think you've heard on other podcast or blog post. So you definitely want to tune in here. I mean, she's somebody who, you know, over the course of her career in the last 20 something years or so, she's raised over $26.2 million in private money from debt and equity partners that have allowed her to fund hundreds of deals. She's put together like syndicates and, you know, including multifamily equity offerings and just high level stuff that she's been able to do throughout the course of her career. And as a result, you know, she's been fortunate enough where she's been able to teach, you know, thousands and thousands of investors across the country how to do the same, not only how to get private money, but how to just get more deals, right? And so that's really the focus of today's masterclass here with Susan Lassiter-Lyon. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. Check it out. Hey everyone, I want to welcome you back to another Flip Empire Masterclass show here. And I'm really excited about today's guest, somebody I've known for a long time, Susan Lassiter-Lyon. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you, Alex. How are you doing?
Doing awesome. You know, it's interesting. It's been, the last time I think I saw you was at Ryan Dice's, what does he call his annual event?
Traffic and Conversion.
Yeah, yeah. That was probably back in 2010 or 11. So yeah, we kind of lost touch a little bit, but I've been following you. I know I love your site, the Investor Insights, and and I know you're doing a lot of big things. So it's awesome to have you on.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, fantastic. So listen, I know you and I were kind of talking a few minutes ago. There's so many different directions we can take this call in, but since we want to focus it in on half an hour, one of the things I would love to kind of get into is private money, and maybe that's something we can have you back on in the future for. But lead generation and connecting with motivated sellers is something that, you know, we're always looking to get better at. And yeah, and I know you have a PDF or a report that's 70 different ways to, you know, get motivated seller leads. So I thought, you know, why not maybe have you talk about maybe your top ones, whether it's the top three, the top five.
Sure. Yeah, you bet. The two main tricks, right, to being a successful real estate investor are getting the deals and getting the funding, right? So right. I call it getting the deals and getting the money. I mean, those are the two main pillars of really core activity and core tasks that you need to have in your real estate investing business in order to be successful. So just kind of over the years, you know, I've kind of brainstormed like, well, what are the lead flow channels that have really worked for me? And what are the ones that are working for my students and clients? And, you know, this list has undergone a lot of changes over the years, but we ended up at last count, we had 65 and we just added five more to the list.
Yeah, I saw that.
70.
Awesome. That's a lot of ways. I mean, imagine if you could just implement a handful of those, I mean, you should be golden.
Yeah. You know, and that's what I tell my students. It's like, you know, the purpose of me providing to you 70 ways to find real estate deals is not for you to implement all 70 ways.
Of course. Right.
that would be ridiculous and a giant waste of time. But it's to look over the list and to determine just based on a couple of things. Number one, your specific strategy, right? So some of these are going to be better suited to residential properties versus commercial properties. And what's your budget? You know, I mean, obviously, you know, one of the things that people like to lead with, especially for wholesalers, is just get a you know, an absentee owner's list and mail postcards or yellow letters to it. And that could be pretty expensive on the front end, right? Yeah. Especially if you don't have your marketing message completely dialed in and, you know, you're a new wholesaler. So I'm like, look, take into consideration how you like to market, how you can afford to market, and what your strategy is. And then use this kind of laundry list of 70 ways to generate leads to choose maybe your top three, maybe a maximum of five, that you can really build some solid, sustainable lead flow channels around. So that, you know, my goal for my students is always to have at least five viable deals in your pipeline at any given time. I think that, you know, if your pipeline is suffering from lack of leads, then you fall into a real trap. Like when I first started out, it's like I would get a lead and I would be so excited about that one lead. I would like try to do everything I possibly could to turn it into a deal. And you and I both know that when you force something to be a deal, oftentimes those are the deals that come back to haunt you.
That's 100% accurate. Yeah, it's interesting that you said that, because sometimes I talk to students and just people that reach out to me and they say, you know, I'm not happy with the amount of money I'm making. I'm kind of on an income roller coaster. And the people that I find, you know, that happens to, and this has happened to me in the past, it's usually a marketing challenge, right? You're not generating enough leads. And it's like you said, you can't really try to force a square into a circle, so to speak.
Right.
But when you have leads coming in from all these different channels, and you have your marketing message dialed in and you're just consistent with the marketing, that's when I think predictable, consistent revenue in your wholesaling business, and just really in any business, in general, I think that's when it happens.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Awesome. Hey, why don't we do this? I actually should have covered this at the beginning, and I know, you know, I already kind of gave a brief intro about you and your business, but what is, just so for the people that haven't heard you, and then from there we can maybe dive into your top three or five marketing channels to get motivated sellers. Why don't you, can you kind of give, you know, anyone listening in just a bird's eye view of what your business looks like today, so they kind of get some context from where you're coming from?
Sure, absolutely. So I have been a real estate investor since 1994. I started off, you know, that was my side gig, as so many of us start out. I worked for Hertz Rent-A-Car for about a bazillion years. And when I first started investing in real estate, I, you know, it was something I just planned on doing on the side to kind of help create wealth and, you know, kind of supplement what I was making at Hertz. But in 1998, I decided to leave Hertz and to start my own company. And the company that I started was not necessarily a real estate investment company specifically, although I certainly have one of those, but I decided to start a mortgage company, right? Because for me, and I'm sure it's the same for a lot of your listeners and probably even you too, Alex, when I first started, there were two giant constraints, and we're going to talk about one of them today, but the other one was financing and funding.
Oh yeah.
And I, you know, conventional lenders are really tough to deal with regard to financing investment properties, and hard money lenders were, you know, taking a majority of my profit. And so I kind of set out to really solve the funding problem, and I got really skilled at raising private money, and I worked at a mortgage company for a short time to learn the mortgage business so that I could understand how to create loan programs that could be beneficial for real estate investors. So that's what I did. So I had a mortgage company for 8 years. We worked exclusively with real estate investors. We did residential financing, hard money financing, commercial financing, and did some really cool deals. Unfortunately, 2008 happened, right? And had an impact on my business, just like a lot of other people's businesses at that time.
Right.
So I made the decision to close my mortgage company and open up a training and coaching business, the Investor Insights, just primarily to teach real estate investors how to do exactly what I did with regard to solving that funding issue. So I, you know, went into business, started teaching people how to raise private money. And, you know, of course, then once you get the funding situation handled, then the next problem creeps up. It's like a whack-a-mole, right? So either you have,
I laugh because I can relate. I totally get it.
Whack-a-mole real estate, right? The two issues that keep rearing their little mole heads. It's the, once you get the funding issue solved, then the lead flow issue pops up, right? So it's either one or the other. I find that, you know, this kind of equilibrium with, I have all the funding that I need and I have a steady stream of leads. That's like nirvana, and that hardly ever happens.
Exactly.
Usually it's like, I have all these leads and I have no funding, or I have all this funding and I have no leads. And so that's, we're trying to create parity in that.
Got it.
So I've been doing the Investor Insights since, January of 2009. And we've, you know, we've raised millions and millions of dollars. I think at last count, between myself and my students, we've raised just north of $250 million in private money for real estate deals.
That's impressive.
And that's just from individuals, right? That's from individual investors, not institutional. Mm-hmm. So we're just having some fun.
Wow. Well, you know what? That's actually a perfect segue. Let's assume that, you know, we have the funding in place. And again, maybe in the future we can have you on just to kind of go back and forth on private money, because I know that's, I mean, you know, you've spent days and probably weeks talking about that. But as it relates to lead generation, you know, specifically getting in contact with motivated seller leads, that's obviously something that all wholesalers, all investors always need as part of their foundation here. Again, I know you haven't at the end, guys, don't worry. We'll send you to a link. Nothing's for sale. But if you guys want, you know, this report, it's a PDF report on 70 different ways to attract motivated sellers, Susan.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, at the end of the podcast, we'll send you guys a link so that you guys can check it out. It'll also be in the show notes page. What are some of your favorite ones? And I know that's kind of a loaded question because we can go in so many different directions, but why don't we do this? Maybe you let me know what you think here, Susan, but why don't we give a few, you know, marketing channels or lead sources that you would recommend for the beginning investor, for maybe the intermediate / advanced one? That way, you know, regardless of the level that, you know, you're at and you're listening in, you know, you might say, hey, I already know about direct mail, I do it. But, you know, Susan might say something that, you know, kind of resonates with you or opens up, you know, a thought, or just kind of, there's so many different ways to do this. I don't think there's a right and a wrong. And I'm always curious to hear people's perspectives on how they're marketing and generating leads.
Sure. So my perspective on marketing, especially for newbies and specifically for wholesalers, is to specialize. And here's what I mean by that. I work with a lot of brand new wholesalers as well. And I think that from a competition perspective, it can be somewhat difficult to break into a market as a brand new wholesaler as a generalist. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. But no, if you can dive in, because I don't want to assume somebody listening in does know what you mean. So yeah, I mean,
sure.
You can elaborate. Yeah.
So if you dive in as a generalist, that means that you're just, you know, you're kind of grabbing at any lead you possibly can and hopefully have built a buyer's list so that you can then, you know, kind of offer that lead to your buyer's list. But that can be expensive. It can be time consuming, and it's a little bit like, you know, throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what's going to stick.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the best way to start your business, and to, you know, make the best and highest use of your time. So I'm going to talk about like a couple of strategies that, maybe you haven't thought of before, or maybe hopefully you haven't even heard of before, that might be viable alternatives that'll help you kind of get away from some of the competition in areas where you may be, and give you a different perspective about like how you can be in business as a wholesaler and offer higher than average value to your buyers. So I have a very good friend. His name's Mike Penny. He is my wholesaler, right? So my personal investment strategy has changed and evolved over the years. right now, and for about the last probably 8 or 9 years, I've done multifamily investing exclusively. That's apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. And I either put together my own group investments, also known as syndications, or I'll invest in other people's syndicates and crowd funds and that type of thing. So, you know, if I'm going to buy an apartment building, I usually buy a couple hundred units at a time with a group of other investors. But back in the day when I was kind of learning my craft, right, and I was looking at residential properties, but I knew that I needed some sort of like multifamily aspect to it, I decided I was going to invest in duplexes, triplexes, and quads. And so I hooked up with this local wholesaler named Mike Penny, who is what he refers to as a cleanup specialist. So he specializes in acquiring and getting under contract the types of properties that other investors absolutely wouldn't touch. I mean, termites, structural damage, fire damaged, mold, anything that needs to be remediated, any kind of environmental issue, you know, where either a lender has turned something down. And, you know, honestly, with these types of properties, specifically structural issues with properties, you know, those usually fall out of contract. And so the competition for those properties isn't very high, but there are always going to be investors out there who can handle that type of repair.
That's right.
So what Mike Kenny did when he started his wholesaling business was he's like, all right, I'm going to focus on structural issues. I'm going to become the local expert in how to, you know, fix structural issues with, you know, joists and all sorts of crazy things, you know, jackhammering. And I mean, heck, we pulled a porch up off of the ground one time and reattached it to a house with bolts, you know, all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah.
But these are properties that he was bringing to us that we were getting under contract for very, very cheap. And oftentimes just with that little bit of extra education that Mike Penny brought to the deal, otherwise known as value to that deal, right? Because he had studied how to remediate these types of structural issues. I didn't have the fear that most other real estate investors had about dealing with those structural issues. And as a result, I got a steady stream of leads from him of deals that had structural issues that were very simple and relatively inexpensive to fix. And I got them for like ridiculously low prices. And he was actually able even to hook me up with a local contractor that specialized in that stuff for an affordable price as well. So that's one lead flow strategy. And it has to do with just specializing in something and adding value to the deal.
Yeah.
Right. So I guarantee you that, you know, if you come to like a rehabber and say, hey, here's a deal off of the MLS, you know, that's not adding value, right?
That's right.
Rehabber has the ability to go to the MLS and get his deal. What he's looking for from you is something specific, something that's going to be significantly under market. It's going to be a great deal. It's going to be something that otherwise he or she wouldn't have access to. And these types of deals are ripe for that, but it requires you specializing and adding value to that deal. But that's right. One way.
Okay. And obviously, like, you know, just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, Susan, that's, you get paid to add value and to bring solutions to people's problems and challenges. And obviously, when we're talking about something, a property that has structural problems, that's what Susan is talking about when she says add value. I mean, that's ultimately how you get paid. And that's, I think, just to kind of circle back to what you said at the beginning, Susan, is specializing, not just being so general and going after, you know, absentees with equities. I mean, that's what everybody and their mom is marketing to, right?
Yeah. 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 And unless you've got a giant budget, you're never going to be able to outmarket the big guys, you know, that are coming in. I learned this lesson way back in the day when I first started investing in the early 90s, when I was doing tax lien investing. You know, I went to a tax auction at a couple of counties here locally in Colorado where I'm based. And I thought, oh, you know, I've got a couple of $1,000. I'm going to pick up some tax liens and it's going to be great. Oh my gosh. You know, there were institutional investors there, hedge funds who had raised millions and millions of dollars. And it was a professional company.
Yeah.
They came in and acquired these. I mean, it was like, I felt like I was a first grader in a graduate program at college.
Yeah.
And I felt embarrassed and it schooled me. And that really was the lesson that I learned about, man, if I'm going to take on the big boys, then I can't compete head to head with them as, you know, one or a two person company. I'm going to have to find other ways to generate really spectacular leads that these guys ordinarily wouldn't touch.
That's right.
So that's kind of how I've always, you know, built my business and built these kind of tactics.
Yeah, Susan. And obviously, like, you know, the, the harder it is to get your hands on a list or to get really niche down, the less competition there's going to be, because most people in your market probably aren't willing to just go above and beyond to get their hands on that type of property or that type of lead source.
Exactly. Most wholesalers, and honestly, no like offense intended, but most wholesalers, especially when they're starting out, have a tendency to be a little bit lazy, right? Everybody wants like some sort of, you know, blueprint or done for you thing that they can just plug into. And if you're doing that, what makes you different? You know, what's your unique selling proposition? And, you know, that's just business 101.
That's right. That's right. Awesome. So the first one is niche. What else do you have for us? Because I know we've talked in previous episodes and shows a lot about direct mail. It's one of the ways that you know, my business that we like to get a lot of deals from. But, you know, it's not uncommon, Susan, especially in like markets where we're at here in South Florida, where, you know, we'll go meet with a seller and that seller might have 15, 20, 30 postcards and yellow letters. And what's funny is that most of them, they all look the same. They all pretty much say the same thing. So there's not very many people trying to, you know, like you just talked about, your unique selling proposition to stand out from that quote unquote competition.
Right. Yep. I found that as well. Yeah. Cool. So speaking of standing out from the competition and kind of piggybacking on the comment that you made about, you know, lists that are difficult to get, let's talk about one of my next favorite ways that has virtually no competition, and that's eviction filings.
Love it. Talk to me.
Yeah. All right. So here's what you do. You research the unlawful detainer filings at your county courthouse, right? So whatever county you're targeting, evictions are going to be in the courthouse called unlawful detainer actions. So you're going to look for these unlawful detainers that have not been vacated. Okay. So you may have to wait up to about 60 days. But you can get these lists just from the court dockets at the counties that you're targeting. So you know, all of these unlawful detainer filings are online, or they should be online at the courthouse. If they aren't, then you can either go to the courthouse and you can research these dockets, or you can send somebody, you know, a VA or an admin assistant to contact them and see if they can get the lists. Mm-hmm. But you're looking for the ones that haven't been vacated. And that just means that if this unlawful detainer has not been vacated, then that means that the eviction is still on.
Got it.
There are also some online specialists that you may be able to hook up with in order to see like where they're targeting and who they're helping.
Okay.
And those sites are a couple that I know of. Kickemoutquick.com is one, which that's the best domain name ever, by the way.
So I actually never heard of that one. Kick M out, like E-M.
Yeah. Kickemoutquick.com. And then there's one called evictioncoordinator.com.
Interesting. So, you know, both of those, I'm glad you shared those. I had never heard of those sites.
Sure. Yeah. And you know, honestly, I think if you've been involved in real estate for any length of time, and certainly been a landlord, then you know how painful this can be.
Oh yeah.
I've written a couple of, you know, posts over on my blog about my tenant from hell from years back. His name was Dale, and man, did I have to, like, let me just tell you this. If as I was evicting Dale, right, the minute that I filed that unlawful detainer, if a wholesaler or another real estate investor would have contacted me and said, hey, I saw that, you know, you have this eviction process going on this property. Like, you know, are you looking to get rid of this property? I would have been like, yes, thank God, finally called.
You were the motivated seller at that point, right?
Yeah. These are motivated seller guys. I mean, I can't think of any landlord who's having eviction problems that really wants, you know, is like married to a property. It's like, that's a motivated seller right there.
Yeah. You know what, Susan, not only is evicting a pain in the ass, but honestly, a lot of these landlords are getting up there in age. You know, they might be 60, 70 plus years of age, and they're looking to, a lot of times anyway, they're looking to simplify their life and they don't want or need those headaches. So maybe a thought even, and let me know what you think. I always try, whenever we pull mailing lists, we try to add different filters to kind of zig and zag, you know, where other people aren't necessarily fishing. So maybe even a thought is, you know, go find an eviction list and then maybe see if it's possible to add a filter where, you know, you target the homeowners, the landlords that are 60 plus years of age, or, you know, certain properties or certain zip codes, whatever it might be for you, but just kind of getting a specialty niche list and then adding a few filters on top of that to get a really targeted list.
That's a great idea. Really great idea. Okay, couple more?
Yeah, yeah. By all means, anything you got here within the next, 10 minutes or so.
Sure. So let's see.
I noticed, actually, let me throw one out at you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You mentioned there's one on your site here. And again, we'll give out this link at the end of the call here. But you have one here that says 5 secret MLS keywords that uncover great deals. I'm guessing these are, things like probate, inheritance. Is it things along those lines, or are there other MLS keywords that you have found, have produced when it comes to connecting with agents and getting deals on the MLS?
Yeah. So MLS keywords, you're looking for anything that from vacant as a keyword to needs work, handyman special,
eviction.
Motivated seller, must sell. These are all the keywords that you're going to be looking for that would give you some sort of indication as to the motivation of the seller.
That's right.
Anytime you're going to see something on the MLS that says vacant or must sell, or handyman special needs work, must sell, that's a pretty good indication that's going to be a motivated seller.
Yeah, that's right. And cool. I think the same applies for some of the third party sites like Craigslist and Backpage and, sure. Some of these other sites. I think you can also leverage those same keywords for some of those sites.
Absolutely. You sure can. And specifically for the commercial investors or the commercial wholesalers who are listening, you can do the same thing on LoopNet. One of the things that we like to do on LoopNet with my master lease option strategy for small multifamily properties, like between 10 and 40 units, is to go into the advanced search section of LoopNet and enter the keywords seller financing or owner financing. And then that's going to tell us all of the listings on LoopNet for commercial properties where the owner or the seller has said that they'd be open to seller financing or owner financing that property.
Yeah.
And that's also a great test of motivation. If they're willing to finance part of it, it tells you a couple of really great things. Number one, they're probably going to be open to a creative offer.
Uh-huh.
And number two, they've got to have some equity in that property. So those are all great things to look for.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's awesome. And so why don't we end on this? I know you work with a lot of different students across the country, specifically the ones that wholesaling is their, that's kind of like their bread and butter.
Uh-huh.
What have you found? And obviously so many marketing channels, the effectiveness of them, I think, varies from market to market, right? What's another marketing channel that you would say, It's tested. It's across the board, regardless of what market you're in. If you're consistent with it, you're putting yourself in a pretty good position to do deals. I mean, obviously, there's no guarantees. But would you say is that direct mail? Is it online marketing? What would you say is that that regardless of whoever's listening, regardless of what market they're in, they should be using this marketing channel to generate motivated seller leads.
I'm a really big fan of REO, getting direct to the bank. And, the banks that we like to focus on are what we call portfolio lenders. They're the smaller local community banks and credit unions who either don't have like some sort of a big like disposition department, where they have somebody that's going to handle disposition of REO, which is, their foreclosed bank owned properties. We've had a lot of really great luck from guys who are like, look, I want to pick up maybe a package of 5, 10, 15 houses or so, just approaching these smaller local lenders directly and seeing what they have on their books in terms of real estate owned and making an offer direct to the bank.
I love
it. So
now, are these REO properties? Do you typically find that the small community banks and these local lenders that have them, are they often listed on the MLS or these are pretty much off market?
I'd say about half and half. When we first started doing this several years ago, they were all pocket listings. They were off-market listings. Mm-hmm. But now that, some of these smaller lenders have kind of gotten wise or they've gotten overwhelmed with just the sheer number of foreclosures that they have on their books, they've usually aligned with either one or two local we just call them REO realtors, right? So I have another friend. I mentioned my friend Mike Penny, the wholesaler. I have another friend who is an REO realtor, and he specializes in working with these banks to be the exclusive listing agent of these properties. And so, you know, some people will be like, oh, well, if it's listed with him, then, you know, I can't like make a bulk offer or negotiate directly with the bank. And I think that's a big mistake that people make in assuming that you can't do that.
Yeah.
So for example, with him, it's like if he, you know, has all of the listings, if he's the exclusive listing agent for, you know, Acme Bank and Trust here in Denver, and he has like 15 listings, then of course I can get with him and say, look, let's have a sit down with the bank. I want to take a look at the, we call it a tape. It's just an Excel spreadsheet with, you know, characteristics of all the properties. And I want to make an offer in bulk, right? Uh-huh. So you can either cherry pick the list and make an offer on the ones that you want, or you can make an offer in bulk. And I guarantee you that you're going to get a sizable discount, you know, if you're making an offer in bulk. So I think that REO realtors and going direct to the smaller lenders is a great strategy.
Okay. And would it be as simple as picking up the phone and contacting these small community banks and finding out if they have an REO department, or what would you advise would be the first step for somebody to kind of explore that avenue?
Yeah, you can pick up the phone. I'm a big fan of just going to the bank. You know, right. I mean, the bottom line is that if you're going to call these banks, then make sure that you don't end up in like voicemail hell. Uh-huh. So you want to get either to the commercial lending division. Okay. And I know that might seem counterintuitive. Somebody's gonna be like, well, wait, I want the residential properties. At these local lenders, okay, they underwrite residential properties just like they do their commercial properties. So anytime it's an investment property, it's going to be underwritten in the commercial lending department. So make sure you're either connecting with the commercial lending department or with the business banking division, and that's usually going to get you to the person you need to be with.
Awesome. Awesome. That's a great tip. Appreciate you sharing that. Got one more question for you before we wrap this up here. This is a question I always like to ask on these masterclass, and I'm kind of curious what you're going to answer here. We haven't discussed this, so just whatever comes to the top of your head here, Susan.
Well, now you're scaring me.
No, at all. Please, I'll take good care of you here. No, very, very just straightforward, simple question. There you go. That actually might be your answer. I don't know. What's the advice that you would give your 25-year-old self? So if you were just going to rewind the clock, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever it might be, what's the one thing? You know, we've all read that book, probably The One Thing by Gary Keller. You know, what's the one thing or the one piece of advice you would tell the younger Susan Lasseter-Lyons?
That's a great question. And it's one that I have been asked before. And it's one that I've thought about a lot. And it's something that I try to remind myself of often. And so I actually have a little thing pasted right here on my Mac Mini in my office that tells me, my 51-year-old self, what my 25-year-old self should have heard.
Okay.
And that is, slow down, calm down, don't worry, don't hurry, trust the process.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, here's the thing. You know, when I first started out, I was just like the other people in this world who just start out in anything. I mean, I was crazy, right? I was trying every single thing. I was doing, I was reinventing the wheel. I was making stupid offers. I was doing all of the wrong things. And I thought that if I just went really fast, right? My mom used to say, you know, gosh, Susan, everything you do going Mach 10 with your hair on fire. And, you know, it was kind of a joke in my family, right? It was like, I was a fast executor and a fast implementer. But yeah. I think that in hindsight, that ultimately did me more harm than good. So I would just say, and this is exactly what I say to the people that I work with now. It's like, man, just slow down. Okay. Let's take a deep breath. Let's calm down. Trust the process. You're going to get there. Uh-huh. Right? If you trust the process and you do the things that you need to do every single day on the journey, then you can't help but make it to the destination.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's really, really valuable insight. So
yeah,
thank you for sharing that. And speaking of insights, maybe that's kind of a perfect segue, totally unplanned here. where's the best place where, you know, you've been so giving of your time, and I appreciate just the wisdom you've shared. Where can people connect with you and just kind of find out more about the different things that you have to offer? You know, just want to reach out and say what's up.
Yeah, you bet. Sure. Head over to theinvestorinsights.com. It's at T-H-E- theinvestorinsights.com. And we've got all sorts of information over there. I have a blog that we post to regularly with a lot of really great articles specifically about lead generation and raising private capital. And, you know, if you have any interest in products and so forth, you can get information on that there as well.
Fantastic. And guys, we also mentioned, Susan just kind of scratched the surface on a few of the ways to get motivated seller leads. So if you guys go to gettingthedeals.com, all you got to do is put your name and email there. Nothing for sale. It's just, you know, it's a PDF, a report on, used to be 65 ways. Now it's 70 ways to get real estate leads. Don't let that overwhelm you. Just pick, you know, pick two or three and speed of implementation. I've talked about this in the past. Just even if you just get one of them that you're not currently doing and start working on that, it's just another fit. It's another line in the water to attract more fish and connect with more motivated seller leads. So I think that's a great resource Susan put together there for us.
Awesome. Yeah. Can't wait to get it in as many hands as possible. I think it's an excellent resource. Hopefully give you guys some great ideas.
Fantastic. Well, hey, everyone, listen, I really appreciate you tuning in here to another masterclass. Susan, I appreciate your time. I know you and I will stay in contact. And again, hopefully in the near future, we can have you back on. I know you have a wealth of knowledge when it comes to private money. And that's also an important topic, as you alluded to at the top of the show. So hopefully we can get you back on. And again, I appreciate the time.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me, Alex.
Okay, fantastic. I look forward to catching everybody on the next masterclass next week. And make sure you tune in this Thursday to the Q&A show. So if you have any questions that you want me to feature on an upcoming show, just go to flipempire.com and click on the Ask Alex link at the top. And I'll be happy to address that on a future show. Talk to you guys soon. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.